testimony. And, you know, I just love farmers. You know, the core of South Africa is farmers. You know, they take them out and then, you know, remove their dead body. And, I mean, farmers is the core. Listen, farmers is, you know, I feel so, you know, farmers invest so much time in their farms. You really know how much, because they have to invent. You know, there's nothing, you know, especially South Africa. I mean, you gotta think. You know, if a pipe breaks or a gate breaks or whatever they need to do on the farm, they have to invent and spend time and think on their feet. Quite, and I just, it's that inventive spirit that I, you know, what do I now do now? And I think that rubbed off on I don't know, at least the South Africans, that, you know, you have to invent. If you're in a situation, what do you do? You know, you're not, you know, if you're blessed and you have all the equipment and whatever, and you know, and you can just go buy. But sometimes a farmer have to think fast, and you know, have to invent. So I think that's in ministry the same. Sometimes we get into situations and you got to think fast. Oh my goodness, you get questions and you get answers and people's in situations. And anyhow, so thank you for inviting us. Those that don't know us, we're from Sylvan Lake. I guess the conviction came many years ago. I was coming into Canada. This is about 27 years ago. And I was I'm a physician, still a physician. But I think the conviction came is that I worked with people and I said to myself, oh my goodness, these people is not saved. They're not saved. You know, and so that shepherd's calling, speaking about farmer, you know, I think we're in line this morning. That shepherd's calling, oh my goodness. I just felt a compassion. These people's not saved. They don't know the word. At least, you know, we grew up religious, which means, you know, mom and dad dragged us to church and we heard the word of God, you know, and went in one year and one other year out, you know, but there was a point in my life that I was sitting and saying to myself, my goodness, these people are not saved. And the thing is now, if you're going to bring people closer to God, what do you need to do? You need to get closer to God. So it is a tricky situation. How do you bring people closer to God if you don't know God? You know, and so in the process, because dealing with diseases and illnesses and stuff, as a physician, the core is spiritual. The reason why people get sick and ill is spiritual. I mean, you go to a physician, you put so much hope in a physician. Listen, physicians are great, and God has blessed them and give them knowledge and wisdom. But I can tell you as a physician, 99 to 100% of the problems with people is spiritual. Either a broken heart, usually starts with a broken heart, you know, and we can all relate with broken hearts, rejection, you know, all of that stuff. But the thing is, you know, and I had a personal experience. I went to South Africa and probably told you this testimony. Went to South Africa and I got sick. And man, I was out there visiting. And my brother-in-law was very Jesus. Oh my goodness, I said to my wife, he's too much Jesus for me. You know what I'm saying? Too much Jesus. You know, and I know what he's going to come. If he comes to me, he's going to talk about Jesus. And I just, it's too much Jesus. Look at me, I'm too much Jesus now. You know, so he infected me. So I was in bed, and I had a terrible stomach pain. And just bear with me if you heard this testimony. I'll tell you this. And I was in bed, and I was a physician. And I said to the other guy, you know what? I think I'm heading out for hospital. You know, and he came in, and too much Jesus. And he put his hand on the area of my stomach. And he did the strangest prayer, which really offended me. He said, Satan, I break your power in Jesus' name. And the other thing that offended me was he prayed open eyes, because I was taught you pray with your eyes closed. And, you know, but he was when he put his hand on the area that the pain was, it was like he was waiting for something. And I know now what he was waiting for. He was waiting for the helper. Because Jesus says in John, he says, I'm not going to leave you guys here alone to do ministry on your own. You're going to have a helper, and he's the Holy Spirit. And the more that I, you know, is ministry, I realize, oh my goodness, it's nice to have a helper. Don't you like it to have a helper? Yeah, of course. Farmers, you know. When farmers come to my office, I'm like, I don't know how they do it in Canada. Because in South Africa, you have a lot of helpers. And I guess you have a big family as a farmer because you need hands on that farm. I mean, how do you do all that work? You know, it's a lot of work. I'm just tired thinking being a farmer. I'm sorry, I didn't want to offend you, but you need helpers. But they have these John Deere tractors and, you know, it's just amazing what those machines, and usually it's 5,000 horsepower extra that they need. I mean, they've got power, you know, so they got helpers with power. And so God has given us in ministry a helper with power. It just sometimes, how do you do your prayer? So people come to my office and say, hey, do you want to pray for us? I said, no, I don't. I'm not going to pray here. We pray at the church. Because when you pray here, you're going to manifest. And I don't like manifestation in my office. And people don't understand if somebody suddenly gets an epilepsy attack in my office, they're going to call the ambulance. Because it's actually deliverance breaking out. So you cannot, for a normal person with a natural brain that doesn't understand the ways of God, you cannot even explain that. Because their mind is set on the natural things of life. The Bible says that, you know, life is when you set your mind on the Spirit. But if you set your mind on the world, that's death. But if you set your mind on the things of the Spirit, that is life. That's what the Bible says. So anyhow, there my journey starts. My brother-in-law prays for me. Poof, the pain is gone. And I'm like, this is cheating. I studied 6 years of medicine, worked hours hard, and he comes in. He does one simple prayer and he cures me. It's not fair. It's not fair. Well, how does this work? And I start listening to his teachings. Still phones me. Still encourage me. And that's how my journey starts. And my message to you is, you need a helper in ministry. Now, what God's going to do with you is he's going to make a shepherd out of you. Okay, and a shepherd is an overseer. What does a shepherd do? When we're on the farm today, it's again just shepherd and sheep and whatever. But what God's going to do with you is, what does a shepherd do? A shepherd looks after the sheep. Always go for the little one that's lost. Always looking and seeing, you know. So the calling in our lives is that we're going to become like shepherds. And I'm going to just give you some scripture. Is that okay? So let's just read about this. Then Jesus, and this is Matthew. Are you feeling blessed? Are you okay? Okay, so let's just see what Jesus is doing with us. Jesus is the great shepherd, guys. So let's just look. Let's look at Matthew 9:35. Then Jesus went out all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So we can say he's the great physician. He's the absolute great physician. He was a man just like you and me, but he had to also learn how to work with a helper. He had to learn to work with the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that gave him capabilities. And so we need to grow, just as you grow in natural knowledge. If you're going to become a plumber, you can't just do plumbing in your, you know, when you come fresh out of plumbing. You need somebody to train you. You need somebody to how to operate. Even if you become an electrician, you can't just walk out and now you're an electrician. No, you need to be under somebody that can teach you how to operate. And the same thing, we see here Jesus is the great physician. And so let's just go to the next verse. Now this is the compassion. You can see here the same thing that I experience in my office. Can we have the next verse? There we go. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. You see that? And then can I have the next verse? The next verse it says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And then the next verse, if we can have that. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out the laborers. So can we just have verse 36 again? Can we just have that one? Verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. So the Lord, we become like a Lord, the Lord. As we love him, as we follow him, he's going to put on your heart that compassion for the lost. Okay, and sometimes we just have to go for that one sheep. Sometimes we just have to go for that one sheep, because that's the shepherd's heart. And I think that's what I felt when I dealt with people in my office. I say, oh my goodness, Lord. I think it was just my time. I just felt that compassion that Jesus felt. These people don't even know the word of God. They don't even have a fair chance to choose life or death. At least if they know the word of God, they can choose life or death. Because that's what the word of God does. It gives you an option whether you love life and you want to continue because God is life, or, you know, you don't want life. And so then it that pulls me into scriptures of shepherd. I start looking up, scripture. Let's go to Acts 20 verse 28. Is that okay if we go there? Acts 20 verse 28. I just love this. Thank you so much. Keep watch over yourself and all the flock which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Oh my goodness. Welcome to the shepherd school. Congratulations. You're going to get your certificate after the service. Shepherd. And so we got to look at what a shepherd does. You know, let's just look at that. And look at that, the helper is in there. You're not going to just be on your own. Look at David. David was a shepherd. And he met the Holy Spirit out there. Without the Holy Spirit, he could have not taken Goliath out. Without the Holy Spirit, he wouldn't have boldness. It's the Holy Spirit that gives you boldness. It's the Holy Spirit that gives you capabilities. You know? You get benefits if you work for the Lord. We'll go into the benefits you when you work for the Lord. I'll show you. Keep watch over yourselves, all the flock which the Holy Spirit has made you, all of you. You're called, but don't feel condemned, you know. We're all called. Sometimes we're just scared to say, okay, Lord, am I worthy? And that's what he mentioned. Are we worthy? Yes, you're worthy. The word says you're worthy. And so we can do it with the word. We cannot do it alone. I cannot do this. I cannot stand here and talk like this if it wasn't for the word. There's no way. I'll be at home watching TV and eating some chicken wings. But the word changes you. Like she said earlier, the word changes. The more you are in the word, it really transforms you. Why? Because it's truth. Only truth can transform you. Lies cannot transform you. Truth. And there's different truths. There is earthly truth and there's heavenly truth. Jesus brought us heavenly truth. Heavenly truth will change us. And you and me, look at that. Look at the calling. Look at the beautiful. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought by his own blood. So you and me, we were bought by the blood. Now, can I tell you something? In the spiritual realm, there's what we call spiritual knowledge. As you walk with the Lord, there's something that the spiritual realm doesn't want you to know. They don't want you to know that Jesus bought you with his blood. They don't want to. See, in the spiritual realm is they don't use credit cards. They don't use gold. Blood. The transaction goes through with blood. See that? In the spiritual realm, you were bought out of slavery. Jesus bought you out of the spiritual slave, just like Moses brought out Israel. So, Jesus bought you out of the spiritual realm with his blood. The transaction went through. Now, 2,000 years he died on the cross. And so you were bought. Now, I don't know if you guys, you know, you go to a steakhouse or whatever. When you have your nice big steak or ribs or I don't know what you eat, hamburger. I've learned that you eat a hamburger with a piece of ham on. I discovered that in Montana. In Montana, that is just a different level hamburger, guys. Sorry, I shouldn't say stuff like that. Let's stay our mind on the Lord. Well, that's a different hamburger. Anyhow, where were we? Okay, so, you know, when you had your hamburger or your steak or whatever, and now you give your credit card, is that 5 seconds off, is that transaction going to go through? You know, you put it in, I hope that credit card is, you know, is going to do, and then you hear, and they print out the slip for you. And so the same thing is, the spiritual realm doesn't want you to know that Jesus bought you out of spiritual slavery 2,000 years ago. He bought you with his own blood. So the transaction went through. So now, interesting, and I'm going to tell you this. What we've noticed is that when we pray for people, you are already bought by the blood. And so the Spirit of grace, the Holy Spirit shows up and says, this is mine. I'm claiming this one back. So let me explain it to you. So for instance, you buy something in Toronto, Vancouver. Let's go to Vancouver. Say for instance, you buy a house there. Oh, let's just say you go buy a vehicle. What do you drive these days? Tesla? Say when you buy a Tesla in Vancouver. We gotta laugh, otherwise we're not gonna get the revelation. It's good, we need to laugh. And so you phone the guy and say, listen, put that Tesla for me on my credit card and the transaction goes through, you know. And so now, a month later, it's time for you to go pick up that Tesla. And you arrive there, and the guy that you bought the Tesla, he's feisty. He's like, I don't know, I sold it too cheap, I can get more for it now, and hey, here's the slip. I want my Tesla. And so that same interaction happens when you pray in the prayer line, when you pray for people, and you know that person has been bought 2,000 years ago by the blood of Jesus. That transaction went through on the cross. And now the Holy Spirit shows up and say, hey, you guys, it's pestering this person. Give him or her up. Thank you so much. It belongs to me. And that's what I call the Spirit of grace. You know, the Bible talks about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of grace. So you'll see that when sometimes you pray, people's like, I didn't know that this thing, you know, thought that I still belong to him because I was bought by the blood. And the minute you have this little bit of knowledge, what does the spiritual realm do? They bend their knees to you. Because they know, but they want to know if you know. Okay? They want to know if you know. They know that they have to give you up, pester you with anxiety or depression or, you know, sickness, disease, or influence your emotions, whatever they put in your emotions. That's their area. They love to mess with you, make you prideful, make you angry, make you unforgiveful. That's the realm that they really mess with you, is your emotional realm. So anyhow, for you that have that shepherd calling on your life, that want to take it further, God, Jesus is going to give you the Holy Spirit. Jesus is going to say, okay, so you're going to do some shepherd work for me. You're going to go for the lost. Because the Father is all about the lost. Jesus came for the lost. It's always the one that's lost, the sheep that got lost. Isn't that the parable about the 100 sheep? Where is that one? You guys have that one? You know that one? Jesus tells the parable of Luke 15. Yes, thanks. So let's read Luke 15. What of a man having 100 sheep, and if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays down it on his shoulder. He takes that lamb up, And when he comes, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which is lost." Can you put up Luke 15, verse 6 for me? Oh, look at you guys. Oh, we're in, yeah. Yeah. You know, so, yeah, Luke 15, verse 6. "And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.'" And then 15:7 says, "I say to you that likewise, it will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." Okay? So, God, I think that's what happened with me. I was just sitting in my office and I looked at people and I said, okay, no, you know, it's fine I get them healed and get their prescriptions out and whatever, but they're dead. They're dead. If you don't know the word of God, Jesus says, "Let the dead bury the dead." Meaning, they're already dead. They have no relationship with God, so they're already dead. That's what Jesus said. Because God is life. The Holy Spirit is life. It's terrible if you think about that. You're already walking among dead people. The Bible's very clear. God's word is very clear that if you have no relationship with Jesus, you're dead. It's a terrible thing to know. But besides that, there is nothing in this world left, in this universe. This is what God is telling us. I am the life. You better have a relationship with me, because if you don't, you're dead. There is nothing besides me. When you close your eyes, you go to your eternal dwelling. When you close your eyes, you're going to your eternal dwelling, and there's no return. And eternity is a very, 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 very long time. Eternity is a very, 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 very long time. And it's a place of no return. So you have 70 years of your life to find life. You get 70 years, roughly, many get 40, 50, 60 years of life to find life, to find the Word of God, to find the Holy Spirit. Okay? I want to bless you with that. And so Jesus didn't say, "Hey, go in ministry, go make a fool of yourself, you know, go without power, and just make a fool of yourself." No. You get a helper. And Jesus reveals the helper. He's in John, and this is one of my scriptures that I just love, 14:15. "If you keep my commandments," this is John 14, 15, "if you love, keep my commandments," what's the commandments? "Hey, shepherd, go." Go get my lost sheep. Bring in my lost sheep. So remember that we signed your shepherd certificate. Your soul signing up. You're called to be a shepherd. Don't worry. The Lord will raise you. The Lord will teach you. The Lord will bring up scripture and he will bring encouragement to you. You know, it's just that willing heart. "Yes, Lord, I'm ready to go. I want." Okay, so let's just read about the Holy Spirit. "I will pray to the Father that he will give you another," what? "Helper, and he will abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth." By the way, the Holy Spirit loves truth. That's why he loves the word. "Whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you like orphans." See? When you sign up as a shepherd, if you sign up like a shepherd, the Bible's very clear. Jesus says, "I will not leave you alone." Now, scripture that I love is Psalms 23. Let's just quickly go there. And why I love Psalms 23 is we all get sometimes in a situation of discouragement. Okay? And as he teaches you to be shepherds, he's the great shepherd. The Bible says that Jesus is the great shepherd. And so when you're stuck and there, you know, there's no finances and there's, life is just tough and, you know, illnesses is pushing you a little bit and you know, a relationship is rough and work is just challenging. They just want to fire you. They're just looking for something to give you the pink slip. Is that right? Is that what they call if they fire you, get the pink slip? When we fill in the WCB forms in Alberta, the last copy that we give them is the pink slip. You know, they get a copy that they take to their boss. And I would say, okay, I'm going to give you the pink slip. And they all freak out. Oh, don't say pink slip. Pink slip means you're fired. I say, okay, fine, I've learned something. So, you know, if you feel like, oh my goodness, I'm just not doing good at work and I may get the pink slip, you know, get fired. Anyhow, what am I saying to you? I want to give Psalms 23 to you and I want to show you again, he is your shepherd. Don't worry. He's going to bring you out of your things. Just be in peace. The Bible says very clearly that he's taking care of you. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know, when I'm so frustrated, so down and out, so challenged, you know, I quote that hard, loud, that I hear it to myself because I need to hear it. And I need to hear when I quote that spirit from my heart that I don't need to worry. The Lord will be my shepherd. He's going to pull me through. You know, and there's all kinds of stuff that he says here. Psalm verse 3 says, he restores your soul. Listen, we all suffer from brokenheartedness, and, you know, we're sometimes the hardest master of ourselves, and we're cruel with ourselves in there, pushing ourselves down, and you know what I'm saying? And so the word says, he restores it. He heals it. And if he's your shepherd, that means he's going to take care of you. And he's doing all kinds of stuff with you. He's making you walk through, you know, make you lie down green pastures. Man, who needs a break? I need a break. He leads you beside still waters. He restores your soul. He makes your path straight. Sometimes things happen in your life and you're shocked. Why is this happening? Why is this one leaving out of my life or whatever? Because the Lord is taking stuff out of your way. He's making your path straight. You wonder why is the things happen at work and why is this one going and why... Because the Lord is in front of you. Okay? Just one thing. I'm going to just end up with this, and then we'll pray for you. Is that okay? We'll have a prayer line here, and we'll ask the helper to minister to you. He's, you know, I don't want to do things. I have Tim and Oriana here. They always travel with wherever we go. It's nice to have helpers. It's amazing to have helpers. It just makes life easier. You know, wherever I go, they help on Thursday nights. You need a helper. In ministry, you need a helper. And he is the Holy Spirit. And become familiar with him. You know, you need to become familiar with people, so you have to become familiar with the Holy Spirit. You got to understand how what activates his power. It's things that activate his power. He's bang. He likes a fight, by the way. If you come against other spirits, the power is on. You want the Holy Spirit right bang on the side? You know, if you break things off people, oh my goodness, he's immediately there. He likes a fight. Moses said that. He said Moses saw him at the Red Sea pulling off the wheels of the chariots. And he said, the Lord is a man of war. So every job you get benefits. If you have a job, you get benefits for glasses, for medicine, for teeth. Okay? Yeah, it's part of the job. If you apply for your job, you need to know what your benefits. If I have to work Christmas, is there a bonus? Is there a Christmas bonus? What's your benefits? Now, the Lord has benefits too. And we read that. Isn't the Word of God amazing? There's all kind of, you know, amazing stuff in the Word of God. So let's look at Isaiah 66 verse 14, I believe. Yeah, Isaiah 66. So you gotta see the benefits that you have. Okay, Isaiah 66, 14, and then we're done with that, and we're going to pray for you, and just want to congratulate you for your compassion that you have for the lost, and because you have your compassion for the lost, the Lord's going to, you know, make shepherds out of you, and he's going to give you a helping hand. That's the benefit you get. Oh my goodness, sorry, now I'm lost here in the scripture. Let me just see, I need a savior. There we go. I'm going to read that for you, Isaiah 66:14. For when you see this, your heart shall rejoice and your bones shall flourish like grass. And this is the anointed words here. This is your benefit you're getting. And the hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants. See that? You will know the power of God. You will know the power of the Holy Spirit. You will know the Spirit of grace coming in to claim what the blood of Jesus bought 2,000 years ago. Okay, I'm going to just stop with that. So who's signing up for the shepherd ministry? I was like, I don't know about that benefit. I need the sunglasses, I need the glasses, I need the Christmas bonus. <It's not laughs> But serving the Lord, you start knowing his ways. That's the benefit you get. Serving the Lord. And that's what we do on Thursday nights. We start at 7. We've been doing it since 2014. People fly in from all over the place. We had people in from the north, from Vancouver. We had a very famous country singer, Canadian country singer out there one night. We get them all. People is just struggling with sickness and disease, and they believe that the Lord can still heal. They believe that he is still the same as before. And so they come for prayer. And so if that's you too today, please come forward. We're gonna open up the line. Is that okay, Pastor Hansen? Is that okay? Thanks for having us. I see Neelan back there. We were this weekend at Neelan's place. We had a great time. And I see familiar faces here. And so if you need prayer, please come up. We'll pray for you. Sometimes you just need a touch. Sometimes you just want a touch from the Lord. And we'll also dismiss the service. Is that right? If anybody wants to go, you're free to go. If anybody wants to come up for prayer, you're more than welcome. Don't be shy if you have pain in an area, if you have just things just bugging you, or things is not going well at work, come up. Or if you want to say,